1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
One way or the other, we're determined to deny Iraq the capacity to develop weapons of mass destruction and the missiles to deliver them. That is our bottom line. That was said by President Clinton on February 4th, 1998. If Saddam rejects peace and we have to use force, our purpose is clear. We want to seriously diminish the threat posed by Iraq's weapons of mass destruction program. That was also said by President Clinton, February 17th, 1998. Iraq is a long way from the United States, but what happens there matters a great deal here. For the risks that the leaders of a rogue state will use nuclear, chemical, or biological weapons against us or our allies is the greatest security threat we face. That was said by the Secretary of State under President Clinton, Madeleine Albright, February 18, 1998. But now it gets scary. We urge you, after consulting with Congress, and consistent with the U.S. Constitution and laws, to take necessary actions, including, if appropriate, air and missile strikes on suspect Iraqi sites to respond effectively to the threat posed by Iraq's refusal to end its weapons of mass destruction programs. That was a letter to President Clinton signed by, among other people, John Kerry on October the 9th, 1998. It gets even scarier. Saddam Hussein has been engaged in the development of weapons of mass destruction technology. Saddam Hussein has been engaged in the development of weapons of mass destruction technology, which is a threat to countries in the region, and he's made a mockery of the weapons inspection process. That was said by Representative Nancy Pelosi, December 16th, 1998. We've known for many years that Saddam Hussein is seeking and developing weapons of mass destruction. That was said by Senator Ted Kennedy, September 27, 2002. I will be voting to give the President of the United States the authority to use force, if necessary, to disarm Saddam Hussein, because I believe that a deadly arsenal of weapons of mass destructions in his hand, of mass destruction in his hands, is a real and grave threat to our security. That was said by Senator John Kerry, October 9th, 2002. We know that he has stored secret supplies of biological and chemical weapons throughout his country. That was said by former Vice President Al Gore, September the 23rd, 2002. There's also a quote here from Sandy Berger. Sandy Berger was the National Security Advisor under President Clinton. On February 18th, 1998, he will use those weapons of mass destruction again as he has 10 times since 1983. I can quote Henry Waxman, who is a Democratic congressman from California. I can quote Senator Jay Rockefeller, who's a Democrat. And why do I say this? I'm saying it because, you know, it's a hell of a thing to call a man a liar. I mean, if you ought to have a little bit of proof. The reason why I'm disgusted with my own party, the Democratic Party, is because they're engaging in the kinds of games that the Republicans engage in. Just throwing around name-calling. You call a man a liar? You say that President Clinton knew that there were no weapons of mass destruction? You know that that's a lie. It's in and of itself. The Democratic candidates for president, almost to a man, starting with John Kerry, they're all liars too. They're playing games with your head as a voter because they are counting on something that has been sadly true over the last several years. The American voting electorate is increasingly illiterate. It's an increasingly stupid group of people. It gets dumber with every election. They believe anything that they're told. They believe everything that's written. They simply vote along party lines because it's easy. It's easy to make a decision that way. They don't realize that the world is not black and white. It's a collection of colors in between. It isn't that, you know, the Republicans are always wrong and the Democrats always right, and isn't that the Democrats are always wrong and the Republicans are always right. There's two sides to every story, and you have to actually look at issues. You may disagree with us being in Iraq. You may not like the fact that we used force to be in Iraq. But to call Bush a liar is to sink to new lows because, well, I guess maybe they realize they got an election here that they're probably not going to win because there's a lot of really nasty stuff coming out now on Kerry. Phony baloney to the core. This cat is a absolute dyed-in-the-wool phony. Trots out his military credentials in Vietnam. Real fuzzy background in politics. Never stood for a thing in his life. Guy's had his hand out his entire political career. Here he is quoted dead to rights, saying that he's in favor of using force. But when it comes time to be elected president, you know what you got to do is you got to, you know, you realize you're talking to a lot of Americans who would much rather watch, ER than listen to anything really important having to do with their country, so he can bullcrap America, which is what candidates do, because the people that vote, and increasingly most of the people that don't vote, are too stupid to understand what they're hearing anyway. So Kerry comes up with President Bush is doing it, and he's, you know, he knew about this, and a lot of really hyperbolic statements like that, and he's lying, and he probably knew about 9/11, and if I had been president, it never would have happened. Oh my God, that's the funniest one of them all. If I'd been president, it never would have freaking happened. You could have had the Mother Teresa in there, man. You could have had the Virgin Mary. You could have had JC himself, baby. It still would have happened. It was meant to happen. Thank God it happened. If you want my honest opinion right now, thank God 9/11 happened. Because to comment on another quote by another illustrious candidate, Howard Dean, who said, "We've lost our sense of community." The only guy that ever gave America any sense of community in my lifetime, any true sense of community in my lifetime, is Osama bin Laden. He delivered it to us on September 11, 2001. I never have seen my country as united. I've never seen us really as a community of Americans as in the days following 9/11. And if for no other reason, thank you, Osama. Because the freaking Democrats didn't give it to me, and the Republicans didn't give it to me either. But I will say this one thing about Bush. At least the guy picked up the freaking gauntlet and threw it back down and ran with it, all right? And what does the guy get for his trouble? He gets second-guessing like I've never seen in my life from a collection of liars. You want to call a man a liar? I got you dead to rights right here, Kerry. You're a lying sack of crap along with that fat slob Kennedy and all the rest of these guys that represent my party, the Democratic Party. You guys want to quit playing games and start coming up with a platform, come up with a collection of principles and ideas that I can be proud to align myself with, or do you want to just keep playing the old Republican games, huh? Call a man a liar. Say he knew this and he knew that, and you would have done things differently. Yeah, if you'd been there, Kerry, for crying out loud, who knows what? You would have had your hand out filled with so many $1 bills, taking train rides to here, there, and everywhere, man. You might not have gotten the word about New York until you got back a month later. You might have been playing golf in freaking Bali someplace. I'm not a big George Bush fan, but by God, I know what's right is right. If I'm going to teach my kids anything, that's what I teach them. I'm not going to say a guy's a liar because he calls himself a Republican. Because he calls himself a Republican, I'm going to call him a liar? I'm going to compare him to Hitler? What kind of people are in charge of my party these days? What kind of people are in charge of my country these days? Who are these people? John Kerry, I'll be voting to give the president the right to use force to disarm Hussein, who I believe in his hands a deadly arsenal of weapons of mass destruction is a real and grave threat to our security. We know he has weapons of mass destruction, Ted Kennedy. We know he has weapons of mass destruction, Al Gore. We know he has weapons of mass destruction, Nancy Pelosi and Madeleine Albright and President Clinton. And you know what? I will say this about President Clinton. Of the group of them, he's the guy that I respect the most because he's the man that he stepped forward and said, this is where it's at. This is what's going on right now. And he has not been, he has not been a guy out there criticizing President Bush, calling him a liar. In fact, Clinton has said he supported President Bush's move into Iraq. Sandy Berger, he'll use those weapons of mass destruction. The Democrats knew. My party, they knew that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, and yet because we have absolutely no party platform other than to call a man a liar, we're going to turn around on everything we've said and say, Bush knew it was a lie. Like, John Kerry is a simple-minded fool who just believes everything that he's told. He gets his national security briefing and he goes, well, I guess the weapons of mass destruction, I don't know, President Bush said so. Yeah, I really want you as my president, Kerry. Do us all a big fat favor, will you, man? Go on back to Massachusetts, suck down a little clam chowder, and just stand up, look dignified in the Senate, flash your bronze star every now and again, because I know everybody just loves that, and just look all dignified and don't bother me, okay? You're really starting to tighten my jaws. You and the rest of those imbeciles that I get these, and I'm getting these emails from my Democratic friends about taking the country back? Taking it back to what, September the 10th? I got an email, you ready for this? Guess who I got an email from? One of the fat pigs that started Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream. I don't know, it was either Ben or it was Jerry. Both of them sound like they got a freaking neck full of fat, so I don't know who it is. You listen to those guys going, oh, you ever had my ice cream? It's really good. Seriously, this guy's now into taking back the country, getting rid of world hunger, as if it's America's job now. You see, we could wipe out world hunger. I got big news for you, fat boy. You want to wipe out world hunger? Why don't you start sending some of your ice cream down there, huh, for free? How about that? Oh, I know, you gotta make a living, don't you? The rest of us, though... I swear to God, Mark, I got this email. It's,
hello, my name is Ben. You know me as the founder of Ben & Jerry's, but today, I want to tell you about...
Sorry, folks, we'll have to interrupt this message. Ben is gagging on his own ice cream. He's choking on one of his, what is that, cookies and cream? And he says, let's take back our country? To what? To when? To how? To who? Community? Look, there's only so much Washington can do for any of us. During the 90s, this sense of community that Howard Dean's talking about, we were the most selfish, self-centered, single-minded pack of jackasses with our NASDAQ this and our dot-com that. Making our money hand over fist. You know, the economy was pumping along pretty good, baby, and all of a sudden we hit a recession. I don't blame Republicans for that or Democrats for that. I don't blame either. You know who I blame for that? I blame 19 guys with towels wrapped around their heads flying planes into a building. That's what I blame. That's who I blame. You want to get right even more specific, you got an economy that was doing so bloody well that they were afraid of inflation, and so they began to they started jacking the interest rates at the Fed so that people would slow down their spending a little bit. That's not political. It's telegraphed like 6 months out they're going to do that stuff. We went into a recession. But there's Fat Slob Ben of Ben & Jerry's. Thanks very much for that email, man. I will never eat any Ben & Jerry's again. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I never have. Because the first time I ate it, it tasted vaguely, although I've never had it. I bet you anything... Cat dung tastes exactly like Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Because I took a mouthful of this and I said, there's a hint of cat ass in this. And the Cherry Garcia, you're kidding with that, right? Cherry Garcia? They use a small sampling of dog ass and, a variety of things. Your ice cream sucks, Ben. I'm sticking with whatever the hell it is my wife buys. Some low-fat crap. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up on our show tonight, Lloyd Bonafide, who is a Korean War veteran involved in a situation. There was a problem in Alhambra where he pushed a baby stroller and a woman out of an elevator. He doesn't like people stopping the door of the elevator once it started to close. We also have Doug Danger on gay marriage. He has been talking to people about whether they support gay marriage. When they say no, they don't, he says, yeah, well, I'm gay. What do you think about it now? And then suddenly they've changed their mind. It's all coming up on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Oh, we would like to take a moment, though, to recognize, once a week, we recognize our great Americans, Let's hear it for all you big, strong guys that flip off old people in traffic and yell at them and intimidate them. My goodness, aren't you impressive? Yeah. My kid today, you know, there was an old lady in front of us. Says, just flip her off and go around her. I said, where did you learn that, man? What do you mean flip her off and go around? Well, she's old. She's old? So she's old. Are you guys telling me you're flipping off old people? And then, of course, the whole car falls silent. Then it falls silent. You know, ever since they learned how to give the finger, these guys give it all over the place. And I told them, and I got to keep telling them, you give it to the wrong guy, and you won't come back. You'll never see, you know, you'll never see Kansas again. Give it to the wrong guy, man, and he'll hand your entire hand back to you. Just, you know, just don't flip everybody off. That goes without saying, but flipping off old people, you know, keep this in mind, folks. I don't know, yeah, a lot of you agree with what I'm saying, but there's a few pea-brained, the guys out there that, they love to push around people that are weaker than them. They get a thrill. Because I guess they're too weak to push around anybody else, so, you know, like kids and old ladies and old people, they push them around. And they flip them off, and they yell at them in traffic. Look, old people are driving cars. You know what? They're going to go slow. They're going to drive bad. Whatever they're going to do, okay? As long as they got licenses, they're out there on the road, okay? You're going to flip them off and scream at them? You want to change the laws? You can do that. Or if they're driving good, they drive good. Not all old people drive like crap. There's a lot of people like half their freaking age, like the woman today that almost killed me and my daughter as I were taking her to school this morning, as she was on we were going north on the 118, and she slowed down on a freeway lane to let somebody in on a merging on-ramp. In other words, this guy's coming onto the freeway, she slows way down to about 30 to let this guy on. You know, there's an art to getting on a freeway. There's an art to merging into freeway traffic. Either you know how to do it, or you don't belong on a freeway. But you slow down to let somebody in, you are just about going to kill everybody behind you, I guarantee you that. If there's a truck behind you and a guy locks it up, and he happens to be hauling, let's say, oh, I don't know, a few thousand gallons of gasoline, bye. Get out the marshmallows. You know, I see all kinds of people driving like all kinds of stupid, right? Old folks ain't got the corner. They don't have the market cornered, baby. So don't give me this whole old people are driving bad. But to flip them off and intimidate. You know, a lot of these old folks are so freaking afraid to make a wrong move in traffic that they drive literally miles out of their way just so they won't have to encounter certain traffic situations because they're afraid some big, strong guy, some big, strapping dude's going to flip them off. That's why I strongly recommend, as you guys all know, my stand on gun ownership, which I believe it is legal. And if you are legally qualified, you should own a weapon. I'm not saying that it's okay. I encourage you. All American families should have a gun in the home. It is a functional item. It is a perfectly legitimate item. It's a good item when learned how to use properly and safely. It's a good item to have in your home. I double that recommendation for all of our senior citizens. Carry a piece. Get a license to carry a concealed weapon, or get a license just to have it on you, okay? Because some people think because you're old, you must be some kind of an old cripple and you can't defend yourself. I suggest to you, Grandma and Grandpa, you stick the freaking barrel of that Smith & Wesson up their ass, and they may start thinking different. I strongly suggest it. These guys, and I told my kids, if I ever hear about you guys flipping on old people or driving around them and all that crap, you know what, man? You won't be able to run far enough, fast enough, and you won't scream high enough. You won't squeal high enough for me. And then I said, I love you. Have a good day at school. And they said, you too. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Doug Danger. We'll be talking about gay marriage. How do people feel about it? Well, they told Doug, but then he'd say to them, I'm gay. Now how do you feel about it? And then he said he finally got the truth. They like it. Also, Lloyd Bonafide, a Korean War veteran who doesn't want anybody, and he means anybody, sticking their hands on an elevator door to stop it when he's in the elevator. Because you're just asking for trouble. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, anyway, I might as well go to this phone call because I don't, half the stuff that's written up here that I'm supposed to be doing, I'm gay marriage and symbols. Well, Doug's going to do that. Kobe's case, whatever. Did we actually say we wanted to talk about Kobe Bryant? What's going on with him? They didn't give him his Miranda. Oh, yeah. You know what I told you guys, and I mean it. He ain't going to go to jail for anything. Kobe Bryant is not going. And just so that we have a clear understanding what I mean by Kobe Bryant and going to jail and all of those terms, even if he were guilty, okay, which I know in the minds of many of you is absolutely impossible. He would never do that in a million, trillion, billion years. But even if he did rape that woman, he ain't going to jail. Because that DA in Eagle County, they got their heads so far up there, it's sad. It's just, they got their heads so far up their ass, man, they just opened their mouth and eat it twice. Now it turns out that those Mayberry RFD clowns didn't give him his Miranda rights. Meaning, you have the right to keep your big fat mouth shut, you got a right to a lawyer, you got a right to all the stuff you see on TV, right? Right. And Kobe, of course, is too stupid to know that he should be asking for a lawyer. He's just going along with the program because he's a dumbass. So these coppers just step right into it again, right? You guys up there in Eagle County, why don't you try something else for a living? Forestry, lumberjacking, selling skiing equipment? Get some cops up there or something. Not that the people up there deserve it, because I don't know anything about Eagle County. The folks up there even like cops? Do they want them around? So you followed the surveillance, huh? You followed the cat, you did all that big city cop stuff, then you stop him, then you talk to him for about 8 freaking hours, and you never tell the guy he's got a right to have a lawyer around. Is that what you guys, did you guys really do that? Tell me it ain't so, man. All right, 1-800-449-8686. It's not so? Okay, thank you. That's what you get, Henry, for believing everything that you read. Here is Ed. Hello, Ed.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Fine.
Really like your show. But I'll tell you, got a beef with some of your political statements. The main one being that you're a Democrat who, supposedly a Democrat, who is a big fan of George Bush.
No. So you use the word big fan. I said, I'm no fan of George Bush, but what's right is right. And the Iraq war and the war on terrorism is right. I said those exact words, and you come back with me, you're a big fan of George Bush.
Okay, are you a fan of the way he's gone about the war on terrorism?
Yes, I am, sir, and I'll tell you why. There isn't a Democrat that I've listened to that would have known how to do it any better.
Okay.
Not a one. And neither would you, and neither would I. The man did what he... No, you wouldn't, Ed. Come on, pal. I mean, look, I've got enough humility to admit I wouldn't. The man felt, as we all did, that our country was at a very high level of risk at that time. We had remember anthrax? You remember all those days? Some things were put into place, and I still support what he's done, yeah.
Well, you know, we could debate what could have happened there, and there's compelling arguments.
You got it, the old Monday morning quarterback thing.
Okay, but... I just want to know. I mean, you're for guns.
Let me ask you a better question.
Where are you?
I've got a lot of you guys asking me this question. What do you think a Democrat is, anyway? Why don't you answer that question before I start? These questions I get from other Democrats are rather repetitive and predictable. What is a Democrat?
I think that a Democrat is a person who is for, generally speaking, has the interests of people who are making less than $100,000 a year. I'm sure the Republicans could say the same thing. But I think the
Democrats you're right.
To go to the
you're right. So you may want
to
come up with
people.
You're right. You may want to come up with another definition.
There's I also guys, think the Democrats.
So in other words, every guy making under $100,000 is an idiot if he's not a Democrat because the Republicans don't give a crap about him.
I think that you definitely have a better chance of being looked out for if you're making under $50,000 and you're a Republican. Yeah, and
I'll tell you this much.
Over $250,000.
Your definition
and you're a Democrat?
Your definition is flawed because I hear a lot of Democrats say they're against big business. Democrats, however, are equally sometimes hated by small business owners too, which we as Democrats ignore. we don't realize that the workman's compensation laws and the unemployment insurance and a lot of different things that have been implemented by sometimes largely Democratic Congresses have hurt, or at least is perceived to have hurt, small business people. Democrats say, we're against big business. Yeah, but it's the small business guy. And if you put enough small businesses together, Ed, and they call themselves the American Medical Association, do you now call that big business?
I call it a corporation.
Okay, so if a bunch of small businessmen get together that you say you represent and band together in an organization, now you don't represent them anymore.
I tend to think that when organizations get enormous and they have the same rights as individuals, which corporations do...
Are you incorporated? Incorporated?
No, I'm not incorporated, no. I'm just a dude. I'm not incorporated.
Okay, so you're saying that if I incorporate, which I did do, I incorporate because, frankly, I don't have to... As Phil Hendry, I don't have to suffer the lawsuits and a lot of the problems that might come along as a result of my business. You're telling me now that I've incorporated that I don't belong in the Democratic Party because I'm protecting income, I'm insuring for my wife's retirement and mine, I'm insuring for my kids' education, utilizing the profits from my corporation. You're saying now I'm no longer a Democrat?
I don't think
this
it's
is ridiculous.
No, you're not. Listen, I don't think it's a far off statement to say that Republicans are more interested in corporate interests than our Democrats. I think
Republicans,
one of the
Republicans go after business,
of
you're
being
right.
Being a Democrat is it's more for the consumers' rights, more for the people on the lower economic scale. They're more representative of those people. Whereas Republicans are probably going to look out more for...
Not representative. They just say that they serve them, but they're not representative.
Okay, then you
I
tell
can
me,
find,
how
I can
are you
find,
a Democrat?
I can find plenty of lower-income people who are disgusted with the Democrats.
And I can find plenty
find,
of upper-income people
who feel
are,
that they're being pandered to.
Republicans.
Who feel... Well, I'm not a Republican, man. I'm a Democrat. But I'll tell
how?
You one thing. I'll tell you one thing. Why? Because I know
no,
what a Democrat...
Why?
I'm
Where?
Now going to tell you what a Democrat is, because you don't know. A Democrat is someone who believes that government is a viable and positive partner in the development of a society and in its well-being. That's what a Democrat is. It doesn't mean the little guy. It doesn't mean the big guy. It means that people representative in government can use that government as a viable partner in the well-being of a society. Republicans believe government smaller, better. That's what a Democrat is, okay? Call me again when you get it all figured out. They represent the little guy. They represent the big guy. Democrats believe that government can be a mighty and wonderful tool for the benefit of everybody. We don't discount the ability for a certain programs, social programs, military, economic, what have you, that can benefit. Republicans are suspicious of government's ability to do good things. Is that good? Is it bad? I'm not judging it. I'm just telling you. They believe that when the individual is allowed, and the individual being, as that gentleman just stated, the individual sometimes can be an individual corporation, when they are allowed to just freely express and develop, that it's better for a society. I don't believe that, because I know people only too well. That's why we have OSHA. That's why we have an EPA. That's why we have Social Security. That's why we have unemployment insurance. That's why we have a GI Bill. These are all socialized ideas. They're good ones, and I believe in them. I happen to also be pro-choice, and I'm in favor of gay marriage. There. Do I qualify now as a Democrat? Oh, wait a minute. Phil's into guns, and he's into war, so he's got to be some kind of a Republican. When did the Democratic Party turn into such a pack of pussies? That's what I'd like to know. When did we get co-opted by these white wine drinkers? When did it stop really being a party of working people and start being a party of a bunch of white wine sucking, Malibu living, jive ass people who are hypocrites? When did that start happening? You tell me when it gets back to the cat that's drinking beer and eating kielbasa, then I'll, you know, I'd like to know about it, okay? Until then, it ain't a party for working people. It's a party for all of these people sucking sushi over here on the beach. They got about as much understanding of what's going on in the world as my freaking cat, who, by the way, just turned 2. Hey, our website is a great place to go to get all of the fun things on the Phil Hendry Show. You get a backstage pass. It affords you the opportunity to listen to all the classic comedy we do on our show. By the way, We do have Doug Danger and Lloyd Bonafide coming up tonight, and you'll be able to rehear those hours by going to our website. Get a backstage pass, $6.95. And also, I really want to encourage you guys, time's wasting. It's now the 5th, or is it the 4th? Okay, you got 10 days to Valentine's Day. You want to get it done? Just go to our website and get her that beautiful Western Estates spa robe. Women love to have the candles lit around the tub. They want to have a little bit of that, a glass of wine, right? They burn incense, okay? And then they want to have some aromatherapy and all that stuff. And then when they get out of their tub, they want to get into their terry cloth robe, sit down with a little Wally Lamb or some other kind of book like that, you know, love letters, I don't know what, a Kevin Costner movie, and they can just sit there with their toes, you know, nestled against the crackling fire, and they're living large, right? So do her a favor and get her that spa robe, you cheap creep. I'm kidding. Not really. But anyway, just go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, I wouldn't be harking on this Janet Jackson thing, but I mean, the bullcrap in this is just piling up thick and deep as we speak. It just doesn't, nobody's taking a shovel to it. So I guess I might as well, huh? Now I got John Lovitz weighing in on this. Oh yeah, it was unintentional. Let me ask you a question. If it's unintentional, if it was a wardrobe malfunction, how come she's got that star taped to her nipple like that, right? Oh, it just so happens she's got the star there in case everything comes off so they won't show nipple. Because, like, when you show nipple, that's it. You're done. You're out of this business. You'll never eat lunch at this ivy-covered place again. You'll never suck sushi in this town again. It's a piercing? How do you know?
I've seen piercings like that. Yeah,
I've seen piercings like that before.
Yeah, I've.
All right, you've seen piercings like that before. That's nice. How do you know that's a piercing?
I looked at it and it looks exactly like the same kind of piercings I've seen in piercing shops and on Friends.
On the TV show Friends?
Yeah, Ross has one. Thank you, Janice. Yeah, it's a piercing.
What do you mean, Friends? What kind of scumbags are you hanging around with stuff like that hanging on them?
Just the usual.
All right. Thank you. You know, all right, so it's a piercing. I don't freaking know. Get out of here. If the woman was embarrassed, why'd she keep her hands at her side for a period of time and then dramatically cover up? Huh? Somebody want to tell me that? Boy, they're getting the spin doctors out on this one. She ain't going to be at the Grammys, so I will eat part of the L.A. Times on his show on Friday. I said if she wasn't at the Grammys, I'd eat the freaking L.A. Times. I said her and Timberlake. Now, Timberlake's going to be there. How come she doesn't get to be there, but White Boy gets to be there? Is he supposed to be there? Is he going to be there? Why does he get to be there and they keep the black girl out? Is it racial? Do they hate blacks over at CBS? I think that whole thing needs to be looked into. Name me one black show on that network. None, thank you. Hogan's Heroes doesn't count. Yes, I know there were, you know, they hired Jewish actors for that. I know they had Ivan Dixon in that show, but Cosby was not on CBS, you knucklehead. He was on NBC, where they respect the rights of minorities. CBS, they don't care about them. That's a good question I think I've asked, but then again, who cares? How come Janet Jackson has been rescinded an invitation? But that kid is going to be, is he in the show, but she's going to be a presenter? Is that it?
He's up for an award. He's up for a Grammy. And she was a presenter. He's up for five Grammys.
How do they know he's not going to pull down his pants and show his thing?
They don't.
Well, let me ask, why are they rescinding the invitation to her? Because she's not going to do it. What is she going to do? She's going to strip and spread it on stage? Because Justin didn't show nipple, he's just the guy that ripped her blouse off, since he's done it so many times before. Mr. Timberlake, there's another 15-year-old out here. Okay, that's how they wake him up in the morning. That's what his alarm clock says. He sets his alarm clock, and when it goes up,
another 15-year-old at the door.
Oh, wow, what time is it? Some stars were weighing in on Janet's peekaboo performance at the premiere for Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore's 51st Dates. Comedian John Lovitz told Access Hollywood, that's exactly what it was, a wardrobe malfunction, because Sandy Warnick was at the Super Bowl with the wardrobe person when it happened, explained John. Now, Janet Jackson says she admitted it. It happened during their last rehearsal of the Super Bowl. She says she's the one that's responsible. And I think they're just putting it on a black woman again. I think they're just hanging it on the colored. Just say the blacks got out of control. You know, I really think the whole thing is just, I ain't buying it. I'm sorry, I'm just not, I won't bring it up again. I won't bring it up ever again. But I just want, for the record, everybody to know, I am not buying it. I've been in this business far too long. I know which side of the bread the butter's on, baby, and I know how things work. And you are not going to tell me that that wasn't, at least on some level, at the CBS corporate offices, known about beforehand. Otherwise, I guarantee you this, somebody would have been fired. One thing they know how to do in TV and radio, they don't know how to do a lot. In fact, there's very little they really truly know how to do. Because when they put a hit show on, they can't tell you why it's a hit. They wouldn't know why it's a hit if you threatened the lives of their children. But one thing they do know how to do is fire people. They do it a lot. They're good at it. And there's a lot of guys over there that enjoy it. And if there's one thing that they always are ready to do when something goes wrong, because as you all know, that solves every problem, fire somebody. And did you see anybody get fired? No. They always fire people. I'm telling you, something stinks. I ain't buying it. And I'm telling you, they knew it all the way to the very top. You think that network's run? There's a guy over there that everybody knows as a real autocrat. His name is Les Moonves. This guy, nobody farts in that joint without him detecting if it's bean, broccoli, egg, or just a standard bologna fart. And that cat knew. That cat knew. I ain't saying it's wrong that he knew. I think it's kind of bad to have Janet Jackson take the heat. I think it's funky that Justin Timberlake gets to take his stupid-looking perm up there and get one of his Grammys. But, brother, you try to tell me CBS didn't know about it? This is one white boy that isn't buying it. You guys all go ahead and buy it. I ain't buying it at all. Sorry. Thank you. Okay, I'm done. Coming up next is Doug Danger on gay marriage. How do you feel about it? And then how would you feel about it if you knew the guy asking you the question was Doug, who's gay? Would that change your mind? Probably would, at least according to Doug it would. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Massachusetts High Court has made it basically constitutional, I guess, or said it is constitutional for gay marriage to exist in that state. Doug Danger is on the line with us to talk about this. We don't really talk about gay issues with you, Doug, per se, but you are out as a gay man. And I know you're working on a piece for the Orange County Courier. Doug appears in the Courier once a week as their entertainment writer. Thanks for joining us.
Phil, it's my pleasure.
Tell us about the piece and tell us what you found out so far.
First thing that I said about me, Phil, is I am a gay man. I am a gay journalist. I usually just write about the entertainment business. I stay clear of gay issues because I don't want people to only see me as dealing with gay issues. But I have taken, I've decided to do a series on gay marriage, especially in light of the high court ruling in Massachusetts. I am a gay man and a gay journalist, and I think as a gay journalist, I bring a perspective that straight journalists don't have.
Well, yours is a kind of a man on the street thing, right?
Well, that's true. as a gay man and a gay journalist, I think I can get more of a truthful response out of people, or at least find out where they really stand on gay marriage, because I know who to ask in these man-on-the-street surveys, and I don't, I'm not really, you know, trying to be diplomatic. I'm a, as a straight journalist might. I just go right ahead and I ask the hard questions, because as a gay man and a gay journalist, I'm able, I think, to be a little bit more honest.
All right, give me an example of the people you've been approaching and the kind of responses you've gotten on the question of gay marriage. Where does the average American stand?
Well, for instance, I was in Avon's supermarket, I think it was over here in, near the beach on Tuesday, and I saw this checker. Now, grocery store checkout people, for the most part, a lot of the demographic information we have on them, they're lower income, they're not particularly highly educated people, usually a single mother who does not have the ability to grasp perhaps more sophisticated issues. This one checker...
Now, this was a female grocery store checker?
That's right. Her name was Sandy, and I asked her, I told her that I was a journalist. I didn't mention my orientation. I said, I'm a journalist. And I asked her, I said, I'm writing a piece for the Orange County Courier newspaper. What do you think about gay marriage? And she said that she was against it on religious grounds. And so then I said, and once again, which is also a very standard argument for undereducated people to use, they're against it on religious grounds. So I said, well, Sandy, I also happen to be gay. Now what do you think about it? And sure enough, she looked stunned, and she started to stammer. And everything I knew would happen did happen. She apologized, said maybe it isn't so bad after all, and we shook hands. And she recognized how she really felt about it. See, I'm gay, and as a gay man and a gay journalist, I have the ability to get the real answers people don't want to give. People lie so much when it comes to these surveys that it's really just disgusting. But we're able, I think, in this piece that I'm writing for the Courier this Sunday, I think people are going to see the real responses.
So she said, you said, I'm a journalist, I'm doing a survey, what do you think about gay marriage? And she said, well, I'm against it on religious grounds, which you say supermarket checkout people are lower income, so they're generally against gay marriage on religious grounds. Is that what you said?
Yes, that's correct.
And then she said, and then you said, well, I also happen to be gay. Now how do you feel about it? Is that what you said?
Well, the wording is very important. I said, well, I also happen to be a gay man and a gay journalist. Now tell me what you think of gay marriage. And she, what happens, Phil, is that people recognize how they really feel about it. When you confront them with truth, they have no choice but to redirect the truth at you.
All right, what are the kinds of professions? Our number, by the way, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Doug Dang are talking to people about gay marriage. What other kind of professions did you engage in the survey?
Well, I took my car, I've taken a car in for 30,000-mile service, and I thought that would be a good place. Auto mechanics, auto repairmen, also the cashiers that work in these places, they're all, for the most part, traditionally undereducated people as well. One of the mechanics there is a guy by the name of Ray that everybody said I should talk to. So I said, I'm a journalist, and what do you think about gay marriage? And he said what I thought he would. He said, well, he didn't like, and he used the F word.
Okay, the...
Facts. He said he didn't like facts. And then I said, well, I'm also gay. Now tell me what you think about it. And sure enough, he rethought his position. He apologized and we shook hands. When you confront people with the truth, I'm gay, they can't help but be truthful.
This guy, the auto mechanic, and the woman, the cashier, who you say auto mechanics and cashiers are traditionally undereducated, does that mean they're misinformed? Or?
Well, they have a hard time grasping. I don't want to say anything because I know there's an awful lot of very, very, very devoted public, people who are devoted to their country and learning the news who work as cashiers, but they have a harder time grasping it. And also because they work with the public, they have a hard time at being honest. Because the first thing you're taught as a cashier, as a mechanic or whatever, is to be diplomatic, not to be honest. What do you think about gay marriage? Well, I'm against it. Oh, yeah? Then I hit them with the truth. I'm gay. See, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And when you hit people with that, they stammer, they step back. You can see the fear a little bit in their eyes because, I can't lie to this guy. He's gay. So, and what all of this is telling me, Phil, is that deep down people are in favor.
Okay, I was going to say, what then is the bottom line?
I think people are, majority of Americans are in favor of gay marriage. They just need to be reminded that gay people are just about everywhere and are a powerful force. And when you come face to face with a gay man and a gay journalist such as myself, and I'm gay, you will change your mind, or not so much change your mind, as you will become more friendly, shall we say, with the truth.
Doug Danger with us from the Orange County Courier, 1-800-449-8686. All right, so we're talking about hairdressers, we're talking about auto mechanics, who else?
I approached a group of stockbrokers at the Pacific Stock Exchange, this is in downtown Los Angeles, while they ate lunch, and I said, excuse me, how do you feel about gay marriage? And the whole group of them kind of started to laugh the way a lot of straight men will. And
So they laughed.
They laughed. That's how they feel about it. And then I told them I was gay. And then I said, okay, now, I'm gay. You want to start laughing now? How do you feel about it? And again, each one of them said they thought all gays should be able to be married. And they asked if they could buy me lunch and wanted to know about my struggles as a gay man. So again, that honesty got them to rethink, or at least not rethink their feelings, but rethink their approach to the truth.
This was, how many guys were there?
I'm sorry, Phil?
When you talked to these stockbrokers,
yeah,
at the stock exchange,
right?
How many were there?
Oh, there's about four or five of them. And they were sitting at a kiosk, which is outside there in the City Plaza area, near where the stock exchange is.
And you said to them, how do you feel about gay marriage? And they laughed, and then you said, I'm a gay... And what did you say?
I said, I'm a gay man. You want to start laughing at that now? Now, how do you feel about it?
And all right, here's what I want to ask you. Do you feel... Are you frightening them into a more docile or... You see what I'm saying? Are you intimidating them?
In what way?
Like I said, in frightening them into a more docile or positive response?
No, I might be reminding them that to be against gay marriage is to risk some physical confrontation. I think that goes without saying. Because
why does that go? If I'm against gay marriage, why am I risking physical confrontation?
Well, I think at some point you risk gay riot. You risk if they keep going against gay marriage and other gay issues. We're not going away, and at some point you're going to start to seriously piss off, excuse my language, but you're going to start to seriously piss off some people. So I simply shock them into being honest. They realize they're confronted by a gay man, so they can't be dishonest. So I think it's not intimidation, it's honesty. And you see a lot of these people in blue-collar and white-collar jobs. They don't have the courage of thought to have an answer when faced with a question like this. They need to be confronted, jarred. So I can go up to a guy who's anybody, like a gardener, a construction worker, I say, what do you think about gay marriage? Oh, I'm against it. Yeah, I'm gay. Now how do you feel about gay marriage, huh? Huh? And they'll... God, you know what? I'm sorry, I am in favor of it. Because, again, the honesty jars them.
Okay, 1-800-449, hold on, Doug, 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger of the Orange County Courier on gay marriage is writing a series for the Orange County Courier. It's going to start appearing this Sunday. He is going up to people and asking, what do you think of gay marriage? He gets an answer. Then he comes out and identifies himself as a gay man and then says, now how do you feel about it? And he said, for the most part, they say, actually, I'm in favor of it, and they thank him and shake his hand. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show will be right back.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Relocating the edge and jumping over. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Doug Danger is with me from the Orange County Courier. His series on gay marriage starts Sunday, and he has been doing a survey among people saying, what do you think of gay marriage? And then you tell them that you're gay, and then they, most of them are against it, right?
Well, the first time they'll say, oh, I'm against gay marriage on religious grounds, because a lot of them are... they're mechanics, they're domestics, they're women who work in checkout lines, this kind of deal. They don't have a lot of education. I'm against gay marriage on religious grounds. And then there's a there's a gland that is relative to the hypothalamus gland, Phil, that is in the middle of the chest, literally. Have you ever seen people point their fingers, stick other people in the chest with their finger?
Yeah.
The reason why they do that is because it activates the hormone from the adrenal gland that allows us to be more in touch with our feelings. And so they'll say, I'm against it, and that's when I'll stick my finger in their chest and go, well, guess what, I'm gay. Now tell me how you feel about it, huh? Now how do you feel about it? And that focuses them.
Yeah, but you mentioned holding a knife to someone's throat?
No, no.
Well, I mean, not her throat.
No, I have a pocket knife that I jabbed in their chest. Again, that's to help activate that gland.
A pocket knife, Doug, is... I know what a pocket knife looks like. Do you carry a switchblade knife?
I don't know where this is coming from.
Do you carry a switchblade knife?
I have a switchblade knife, yeah. It is not illegal.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jade. Hello, Jade. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. This guy is saying that coming up and putting his finger in people's chest, threatening people. Anybody would tell you that they agree with you if you make them feel that way. Well, I mean, it's not like...
See, that was my point. Yeah, that was my point.
He's not moving gay rights forward by threatening people. Do you believe, it's right to be gay? I mean, that's like the people that are in KKK threatening people's lives and they, are against... other people, they have the right to threaten people. That doesn't make
that's what I meant,
move
Doug.
Forward.
Don't you see yourself as threatening them?
I don't see it that way, no. What I'm doing is simply... Oh, I'm not the Ku Klux Klan. My goodness, Jade, I stand for everything against what they stand for.
Exactly, but yeah. you're just as far on the other end of the spectrum, but you're
why
still
did you hold
fanatical.
Why did you put a switchblade knife to someone's chest?
I told you. It is a way of activating... a hormone that allows them to be more in touch with their feelings.
Let me ask you this.
I'm gay. You know I'm gay.
Yes.
Am I speaking with the lady, Jade? Is that your name? That's a beautiful name, by the way. That is that's a green stone from the Orient. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous stone. What I do, Jade, is I put you... Like, if I came up to you, what do you do for a living, dear?
I'm a massage therapist.
All right. You're a little bit more educated than your average checkout stand person, I dare say. But I'll come up to you and say... How do you feel about gay marriage? What would you say?
I would tell you I'm against it.
All right, then I would say to you, yeah? Well, guess what? I'm gay. Now how do you feel about it?
And I would still tell you I'm against it. I have
You see, you're not seeing me physically. You're just hearing it. When you are
Exactly. If you threaten somebody, you can get them to say anything. If I put a gun to your head, I bet you would tell me you were straight.
I don't understand why you are taking this as a threat.
Oh, yeah? I'm gay.
If I'm a straight woman and I go up to somebody that is gay and I ask them what they believe being gay and then I put a knife to them and I tell them, are you straight or not? And they tell me they're straight, how is that? Would you think
well,
I was wrong for doing that?
Where are you putting the knife?
If I put it to their chest.
No, I wouldn't call that a threat.
When would it be a threat?
To the throat, it's a threat.
To the throat, it's a threat, but to the chest, it's not. You can't kill somebody by stabbing them in the heart.
What I'm trying to say to you, Jade, if you're afraid of gay, you know I'm gay, right?
Yes.
Are you afraid of me?
No.
Well, then how could you be intimidated? That's what I'm trying to say.
I haven't seen it.
So you're not telling me the truth. Are you in favor of gay marriage or are you not?
No, I'm not.
All right, you're lying.
No, I'm not.
She's not lying.
Your opinion.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I think I know you're going against my opinion now. But because if you saw a gay man in front of you, the power of that would allow you to be truthful.
Okay, well, let me tell you this. I work with a woman that is gay.
You're a massage therapist. You know the body. You know that a finger in the chest will make people honest.
But let me tell you this. I work with a gay woman, and she is with another gay woman. They live together. I think she's a wonderful woman. I don't believe in gay marriage, and I will tell that to her face as much as I respect her.
You say you would, but you know that you'd be frightened, especially the we're talking about now an area that
exactly.
a lot of strangers...
Threaten me, exactly. If you frighten me, that's threatening. If you can frighten somebody into scaring them to believe what you believe...
Well, that's right, no, but I'm not doing that. But when you're talking about the greasy,
greasy
bulldog...
You just said if you were frightened. I might say something.
You're not saying
I don't
anything
believe.
Honest to her, is what I'm saying. Because she's a big, greasy, oily diesel dyke. And
no,
her girlfriend.
Not.
Well, you just said she was.
She said she's a lesbian.
Where did you get off saying she was a dyke? I said she was gay. And she lives with another woman.
She is very feminine. Does she have a cropped off Mary Astor haircut? No.
No, she does not. She wears makeup to work every day.
Does she wear men's slacks? Below the waist.
What?
I know she's got a beautiful face, but you know a lesbian below the waist. They've got their keys are on a chain, and they wear Florsheim loafers.
No, she wears high heels and skirts to work every day.
Well, I think she swings.
All
right, okay, this is beside the point. Jade, thank you for your call, but I think your point is well made. But you say you are not intimidating them.
No, no, absolutely not. And Jay, she would not be afraid of me. I'd simply say to her, look, I'm gay. Now, do you want to rethink that? And she'd say, you know what? How come they shake my hand? How come they thank me? All of these things.
1-800-449-8686. Chris, go ahead. You're on with Doug Danger and Phil Hendry.
I would have to agree with Jade. I think you're intimidating people.
Well, okay, I disagree.
You're.
I mean, would I scare you? What? How do you feel about gay marriage?
I disagree with it also.
All right, see?
But and if you're in front of me, I'm going to say the same thing.
I'm gay, all right? I'm a gay man. Now how do you feel about gay marriage?
I disagree. I don't like it.
Oh, yeah? Well,
I still disagree. I'm not in front
of you. But I'm not in front of you. I'm not in front of you.
Exactly.
See, so you don't know.
And I agree with Jade. If you get in my face and start to scare me, which if you're saying these people are uneducated.
Ma'am, if you saw me, you would be afraid. You would change your mind. That's what I'm saying. That's the difference. If
no.
you saw me, it would change your opinion of gay marriage. You'd be 100% in favor of it.
I did.
Why?
Because I'm a gay man. All right? And the physical power of the gay man, as well as the fact. Now, let me ask you this. It doesn't bother you that there is, if they don't vote in gay marriage, that there could be some problems?
You know, those problems
see, that's what I'm saying.
To me are...
The threat of the gay riot is always... Gay riot has been with us for hundreds of years.
Well, that sounds like
and
your problem, honestly. Gay riot should not affect me.
Gay,
what you do in your home should not affect me.
By the way,
me.
Phil, where'd you find this bundle of excitement? She's just all full of...
Never mind. Thank you for your call, Chris.
Thank you.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, I'm on your program because I want to... You know, engage people in conversation, not talk to, Sleepy. I talked to Sneezy, now you got Sleepy.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here. We're talking with Doug Danger of the Orange County Courier, and we're talking about gay marriage and how he has been doing a series for the Orange County Courier, going out and asking people, how do you feel about gay marriage? If they respond negatively, he will then say, well, I'm gay, now how do you feel about it? And generally, he says that changes their mind. The question is he really changing their mind or is he scaring them? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The soul of America. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Doug Danger with us from the Orange County Courier, writing a series on gay marriage. You're a gay man, a gay journalist, as you've told us. You don't usually involve yourself in gay issues, do you?
No, I really don't, Phil, but...
Why this one?
Well, I just, it's been, it's getting a little tiring listening to this thing being kicked around. As gay people, we want to move it forward. I'll say to people, how do you feel about gay marriage? Well, I'm against it. Yeah, well... Why don't you give that another... Why don't you think again about that? Okay, I'm in favor of it. We need to move it forward. I don't want to threaten people. I don't like to intimidate people. But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm fairly formidable because of that. So I ask you, what do you think, Phil, about gay marriage?
Well, I'm tempted to say I don't like it.
Why?
Because I just love to see you try to change my mind, that's all.
Because you think you're tough, right?
No, I don't think I'm tough, but I just, you know, I don't like the idea of having somebody stick a finger in my chest and say, think again.
Well, that's what I'm telling you. So you're against it, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I happen to be in favor of it. I mean, I don't even give a crap one way or the other, because I think civil union is the same thing.
You want to repeat that?
I don't think gay marriage is necessary. I think civil union is. I think the civil union that gay people have right now is fine.
So you're against it?
Okay, I'm against it.
Okay, you want to think again about it?
No, man, I'm not going to think again about it. And even if you were standing in front of me, because I happen to know you, Doug. So, you know, what, are you going to punch my lights out?
Well, you're a brave man. On a telephone, you're a brave man. But what I'm saying is...
Well, what are you telling me, man? You're going to beat me up?
I'm telling you this. In about 75 to 80 years, gay people will be the majority in this country. Now, we're either going to do it then or we're going to do it sooner. I mean, do you really want to piss off people that are soon going to be running the show? Now, I'm gay. Right?
Yeah.
I just wanted to get an honest answer.
Gay marriage to me is fine. I understand people's opposition to it because marriage has always been symbolic of a heterosexual union. And symbols are big. They're important. In fact, I was going to do a kind of talk about that tonight. Carl Jung's whole...
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, well, excuse me.
Yeah, but you see, you're talking Carl Jung. Who cares, man? Are you in favor of it or aren't you?
Because you're asking me that question? No, I'm not.
All right, so you want to piss me off?
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
Okay. What an ass.
I'm sorry?
Nothing.
Let's go to Julie. Julie, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, this guy is ridiculous. How can he dare to encroach his own opinions on someone else and step on their own individualism?
Their own what?
Their own individualism.
Well, let me ask this. Are you in favor of gay marriage, yes or no?
No.
All right, so in other words, you want to piss me off.
Exactly. Because how dare you try to tell me how to think?
That proves it. That proves that you really don't have an opinion about it. You just want to piss me off. Now, see, only a gay man can get that truth out of you.
Excuse me, I have a gay woman sitting right next to me, and she agrees with me exactly the same way.
Are you gay?
No.
You know I'm gay?
Yes.
All right, so, and you are in favor of gay marriage?
No.
Yeah, but you just said you're against it because you want to tighten my jaws, right?
Nope. I just want to point out...
See, you lied again because you did.
You step on someone else's toes and say, hey, look, I'm gay, think my way, and screw what you think...
Wait a
minute. So your own
I don't know why you're against gay marriage. You got a girlfriend sitting there who would probably love to be your wife. And I've talked to about 100 teens and I only had to really slap about three of them.
You know what? You know why she wouldn't want to be my girlfriend? Because she respects my own opinion about my life.
Yeah, but you're hanging around.
I have two small children.
You're hanging around with her because the gay lifestyle is calling you.
No. Because she's been my best friend since we were 14.
That's like saying you got a blacket for a best friend. It's impossible. Only whites hang with whites and straights hang with straights. Now,
what kind of world do you live in, man?
Oh, stop it, Phil. I've talked to 100 teenagers. Most of them are honest. Yeah, man, I'm in favor of it. Yeah, yeah. Two of them got out of line. I slapped them. And I don't like to do that. I don't like to slap young people. I don't like to slap them across the face and see them cry.
There is no way that you live in a real world.
Well, I'm telling you, Doug, you slap one of my kids.
Oh, here we go. You gonna act tough again?
I'm not acting tough. You're the guy acting tough. Hey, what do you think about gay marriage? I'm against it. Yeah? Think about it again.
So you're calling me a bully.
You're slapping kids. You're pushing this lady around, calling her a liar, saying...
She's the one that said that the only reason why she was against gay marriage is because she wanted to piss me off. So that's not honest. You know what?
How can you tell me
you
by saying... Wait a minute.
Ask your girlfriend. You say your girlfriend's on the fast pitch team, right?
She's in the car, or she's in the store right now, but she's riding alongside me in the car.
She's fast pitch.
What?
What do you mean fast pitch?
She's a diesel dyke.
How in the heck do you call someone something like that when you act the way you do?
Ma'am, I'm trying to determine, are you the gay one or is she?
She is.
Oh,
I'm married with two small children.
And you're in favor of gay marriage and she's against it.
No. She has been married for 12 years.
She's been married for 12 years, your friend,
yes,
Julie?
She has.
Is she married to a guy?
No.
Well, I don't understand.
I do not agree with
she's
her
a gay woman.
But I respect her enough to still be her friend. That has nothing to do with our friendship.
Ask her if she's your friend and she's gay. Ask her how well she'll treat you when the gay riot comes down. Yeah. Yeah. Because that's when it's all going to be...
Oh, stop with the gay riot.
You know what? She has marched in gay pride marches, okay?
I think
anyone that has a different opinion than she does.
Julie, I'm going to say this to you with all respect, but I think you more than once have been curious about eating a box lunch, haven't you?
What do you mean eating lunch?
I mean that Julie is a wannabe box lunch eater. And she's hanging out with a gay woman. Have you heard of a threesome? She wants you to come over to have a little lesbo sandwich with her and her girlfriend so that you can...
Will you stop?
You know, I've been asked about threesomes before, and I've turned them down every single time, and it's not...
Yeah, you know why? Because those women won't shave.
All right.
That has nothing to do with it.
All right, listen, Julie, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
How you doing?
Yes, sir.
Well, I just want to say to the gentleman on the phone from Orange County, who cares? You're going to live your life the way you want to. Why are you shoving it down our throats?
Well, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
So right? What?
You're aware of that, right?
Well, of course, but who cares?
Well,
you have to care.
You have to care because gay marriage is something that we want to get going here before the end of the decade. Now, I'll ask you, Jerry, are you in favor of gay marriage, yes or no?
I don't care, to be honest with you.
Well, if you don't care, then if you had to say one thing, what would it be?
Why are you making me make the choice?
Because I want to know where you stand, all right? Otherwise, you're either going to make me very happy or you're going to really piss me off.
What is it with you, man? I mean,
who cares if you're pissed off? You know?
Well, if I was in your town, you would.
No, I wouldn't. There's gay people all over this town. They live their lives. We live our lives.
What town are you in, sir?
I'm in Johnson City, Tennessee.
Now, there's a gay bar in that town?
Of course.
What's it called? Do you know? I mean...
No, there's a couple. I don't know the names of them. I know where they are.
Okay, see? You've been to them. So, in other words, you have some interest in the gay.
I have never been to them. I had to drive by them.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so what are you saying
about
this?
Sir, you're making decisions for people that you've never met, and you're making them off the cuff.
All I'm saying is...
No, what you're saying...
Jerry, you are
gay.
I'm gay. And you're gay.
You are trying to make decisions for people. You're shoving it down their throat, and that's where it's wrong.
I'm told now I got to... Is it the End Up Bar and Grill?
I have no idea what the name of it is.
I think that's what it is. I'm just trying to get you to A, say you're in favor of gay marriage, and B, come on out. When your son wants to marry his best friend Bob, you'll be so proud walking down the aisle with him, you'll be busting a button off your vest.
See, you're making decisions for people without knowing who they are or what they're doing.
Exactly.
What you're doing is you are pushing it on people, and that's where people get offended. Now, if you just took it and said, hey, I'm a gay man, I'm going to live my life, who cares? You know, that's fine. You live your life the way you want.
All right, how about if I said this? Hi, Jerry. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. My name's Doug. How do you feel about gay marriage?
I don't care either way. I've never thought about it. It's not important to me.
All right, and then as I walked away, I'd say, you know something? You're pissing me off.
Who cares? And I tell you that. Who cares?
Phil, you know and I know that Jerry has his jammies with the back flap open every Saturday night.
Okay, you know something? Because Jerry is an open-minded straight guy, doesn't make him a closet gay man. Thank you, Jerry.
Right.
Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
I know that one. That was Jerry Reed, wasn't he? When you're hot, you're hot. Yeah, when you're not, you're not. 30 days, Jerry. When you're hot, you're hot. That was Jerry Reed, you piece of swill. And you didn't tell me?
How am I supposed to go? What do you mean, Jerry Reed?
That was Jerry freaking Reed. As the day is long.
Whoever he is.
You never heard When You're Hot, You're Hot?
No, man, never did.
He sang the theme to Smokey and the Bandit.
Okay, good, man. I don't know who the cat is.
You know something? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and you're a lying sack of crap because you used to play that song on the air. You told me when you worked in Florida.
I know the song When You're Hot, You're Hot. I didn't know it was Jerry Reed.
Jeez, what are you pissed off at?
Because you're starting to make me mad. Rachel, hi. Hi, Rachel.
Yes.
Hi, go ahead. I'm sorry to yell, but
I think what you're doing, Mr. Henry, is you're taking this and turning it into a different conversation.
No, you're talking to me about Jerry Reed. Who cares?
I just wanted to say that I don't know why you think that you're changing anybody's opinion when you walk away from them after you intimidate them into saying what you want them to say. They're just going to think the same way they thought the first time you asked them. That's their initial response. That's the way they feel about it.
Say that again.
You say to them, you know, what do you feel about gay marriage? They say, I disagree, and you assume that everyone somehow agrees with it. So you then tell them, I'm a gay man, and poke their chest and make them change their mind in front of you. However, they're just going to turn around and walk away thinking the same thing they thought before, that they're against it. You're not changing anybody's mind.
I'm sorry. Just give it to me one more time.
I'm saying that people are still going to feel the same way they felt the first time he asked the question. He's not changing anybody's mind by intimidating them into saying what he wants them to say.
If you could just say it...
No, she's not going to say it one more time. She said it three times.
What'd she say?
You know what she said. You're intimidating people, and when you do that,
Okay, I'm saying...
Yeah,
I'll say it one more time. Okay.
What? Phil, are you going to put her on the air? We're just going to have this conversation off the air.
Correct?
Hold on, Rachel.
Okay.
All right, you're on the air now. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm saying...
You weren't on the air. I'm sorry. You were off the air.
I was off the air?
Yes, ma'am. So go ahead.
Okay, now I'm on the air.
Rachel, you're on the air.
Okay. What I'm saying is you're not changing people's mind by intimidating them into saying what you want them to say. They may tell you to your face that... Oh, well, this guy's gay. I don't want to offend him. Sure, okay, then maybe it might be okay. But they're going to turn around and still feel the same way they felt before.
We had a problem. They're installing a new delay because of all the problems they had at CBS. Say it again.
Okay. I'm saying that you're not changing people's mind by intimidating them into thinking the way you want them to think. They're still going to feel the same way.
Are you talking about me?
No, I'm talking to Doug.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I'm talking to Doug. I'm saying that when you...
You're going to have to start all over again because I wasn't listening to you.
Okay. So you want me to go now, is my opinion?
Please go now. Yeah, the tape's rolling.
Okay. I'm saying that when Doug goes up to people and asks them if they believe in gay marriage and if they oppose, and then he...
All right, you're on the air now, Rachel. Are you line five? You're on the air.
Okay. Doug, is he there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm saying that when he asks people for
their opinion... Is this lady still... I'm sorry, Rachel, this is Phil Hendry. I went to the bathroom. What's going on?
Nothing.
What is going on?
What do you mean, what's going on?
Well, I've been hearing him tell you you're on the air, you're on the air. You've always been on the air. Are you screwing around with her, Doug?
I was just having some fun.
You guys sound so much alike, I can't tell.
Yeah, I'm still looking. Rachel,
I'm sorry.
Look, the FCC is going to want to hear the first sentence one more time. When you're...
Never mind, Rachel, it's fine.
Okay, Doug, so you understand what I'm saying, then?
No, I don't. I don't understand a word of it.
You know exactly what I'm saying. You just
don't have
anything to say to that.
No, I don't. I don't know what you're talking about. When I first walk up to them and then they walk away, you lost me.
Okay.
She's saying to you that when you intimidate people, you don't change their opinion. You get them to say things because they're saying it out of fear, not out of conviction.
All right. Are you gay, Rachel?
No, I'm not gay.
All right, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, right?
Okay, I understand that. You only said that 100 times.
And the fact...
Never mind. I got to let you go, Rachel.
Rachel, you're gay. You're a gay caller.
1-800-449-8686. We got to take a break, don't we? What are you doing? Next time I go to the bathroom...
I was just having some fun.
Hey, you're on the air. Hey, say it again. Line 5. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Back with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. His series on gay marriage starts this Sunday. I have to ask you a serious question now, Doug. There is a gentleman by the name of William Chapin, who is the owner of Barton Hanson Tuxedos in Newport Beach.
Oh, this story is so overblown.
No, but tell me the story and what happened. You went in there.
I went in there as part of my series, and I said, I want to order two groom tuxedos. Because I wanted to gauge how he would react to that.
Two groom, as in a gay marriage.
That's right. I said, I'd like two groom tuxedos. And then I looked at him, I kind of cocked my head, and I said, for a gay marriage. And as I said the word gay, I kind of leaned forward. And as sure as God put green apples in trees, I saw him smirk, and that was the green light. Because I'm not going to...
Okay, well, when you say green light, this man had a cash register dropped on his head. He was hospitalized with a skull fracture.
All right, I don't know anything about that. All I know is that it was on. You know, the green light was lit. Because he gave...
Did he throw hands at you? Was he trying to get physical?
The guy's laughing at me when I'm trying to get two groom tuxedos.
Well, the police say that you were cuffed and spent a night in jail, right?
That doesn't make me guilty of anything. That means that I was arrested. Doesn't make me guilty of anything.
Have you been before a magistrate or a judge?
Not yet, no. And I'm pleading, not guilty, too. Why don't you go to another call? Don't you have a caller?
Well, now I have a commercial I got to go to.
Well, nice going with my boring story. Could have gone to that Teresa in Bristol.
Let's go. Teresa, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Teresa.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead, ma'am.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Teresa, this is Doug Danger. I'm gay and I don't have any more time. Phil does, but I got to go. because I'm gay and I have my... Gay people are always on the clock.
I mean, it's fine. It's fine that you're gay.
He hung
That's
up.
That's wonderful.
He hung up.
I have no problem with that.
Okay.
My problem is that you are misrepresenting the majority
it's a very
of gay
good point.
People
yeah.
in the United States.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Get a piece of...
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I was talking with the young lady that answered the phone that the reason I kicked the story was because I did see a hand and I saw some kind of a metal object. And I am just on to say to people, please, please treat your veterans with respect. Allow that we have seen things... And we have done things that the rest of you, quite frankly, you would never sleep again if you saw the things that I saw in Korea. So if we are in our own way difficult to understand...
Well, let me ask you to recap. You were on your way in an elevator to see... You had a business appointment?
Yes, sir. I had a business appointment at the Shotney Building in Pasadena, California.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. And...
Are you anywhere where you can hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. I was going up to see our attorney. My wife and I are finalizing our will and some other matters. In any event, I got onto the lobby elevator, and I remember thinking, because I hadn't been in a business building in a while, I remember thinking in the elevator, you know, here it comes. You know, there's always someone who's going to grab the door at the last second, and I said, oh, boy. Here it comes, you know.
And why is that a problem, Lloyd?
From the standpoint of what?
Why is it a problem? You're in the elevator, you're going, here it comes, someone's going to grab the door at the last minute.
Well, from the standpoint of a veteran, and you can contact the Korean Veterans of America for more information on this, but from the standpoint of any veteran on an elevator, I don't mind pushing the button to hold the elevator for someone. But what you really shouldn't do, and what I cannot abide, and other veterans know what I mean, I will not deal with someone grabbing the door, sticking their hand into the elevator as it's closing and trying to push the door open. If you've ever been in close combat, as I have, the sudden thrust of a head and the arrogance... behind someone thinking that they can grab an elevator door that I'm on And it's if they're saying, well, hi, I'm just here to hold your world up. Can create a very dangerous situation for that person because I reacted instinctively to that.
All right. It's kind of like a fight or a flight situation.
Yes, sir.
All right. What I learned from the newspaper report, you were on an elevator, you saw a woman trying to open the doors, and you saw her thrust some kind of a metal object into it.
Well, again, I want to be clear, Mr. Henry, that the doors were beginning to close, and this woman comes along with some kind of metal device trying to jam the door open, and the first thought you think is, you know, who do you think you are trying to impede this elevator? My instinct, and believe me, it was drilled into me at the age of 18 at a place called the U.S. Naval Training Center in San Diego, California. I was a punk kid. When someone comes at you, you respond. And I kicked the device she had as hard as I could, and then I moved forward and pushed her by the shoulders back out of the elevator. Understand, Mr. Henry, she had this thing halfway through the door.
All right, let's be clear. The device you're talking about kicking was a baby stroller with a child in it. Is that correct?
All right. I did not know this at the time. The police later told me.
Well, the Pasadena police said you kicked a stroller so hard it flipped over with a child in it. The child was underneath. The woman, Rachel Hill, and the little boy, Paul, he was underneath. And the woman was pushed so hard she fell back into some kind of a jewelry kiosk in the lobby. And knocked all of that?
Well, I already got this information for the police report, so I don't...
No, but I'm saying for my audience, the child was underneath, the woman was pushed backwards out of the elevator into some kind of an impromptu jewelry kiosk that apparently was knocked over as well.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay.
And as you tell the story, Phil, I just want to stress, none of that had to happen. If the woman hadn't been so arrogant and unconscious to the needs of veterans as to stick her hand into my elevator and try and stop the doors from closing. So we do say, please, please, treat your veterans with respect.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
One matter, Phil.
Go ahead.
This stupid woman didn't even take a moment to check and see if I was a veteran. She didn't she said, oh, I want to hold the door, please. And I'm thinking, you stupid. So please, ladies and gentlemen, understand your veteran and treat them with more respect.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. The gentleman I have on the line, Lloyd Bonafide, is a Korean War veteran, correct, sir?
That is correct. United States Navy, sir.
And last week, you, according to police, were on an elevator that was attempted, you were on your way to a floor, and apparently the lady came along and tried to stop the elevator and get a baby stroller in there, and you kicked the stroller clear, flipping it over a couple of times.
I gave it a pretty good kick. It looked like it went up in the air about 3 feet, yeah, and then flipped.
And then you pushed the woman back into a jewelry kiosk that someone was operating, and apparently you were arrested for assault. I want to be clear. If you're on an elevator and I walk along, or any of my listeners walk along, and we hold the door as it's closing to get on, you take that as a veteran, as a threat.
Yeah, you have to understand, Phil. And I'm sure you're a nice man. I'm sure your listeners are nice people. But you think you have the right to arrogantly hold a door of an elevator open that I'm on? Oh boy, you know I almost died for this country, and along comes some yuppie who's pinched out two kids. Well, and all she's done is add two more inmates, as far as I'm concerned, to an over-burgeoning prison population. And I almost died for this country in Korea, and she's going to hold the elevator? No, sir.
All right, well, what are the police going to do? I imagine, excuse me, you have to answer to these charges on some level. You were arrested.
Phil, yes, sir, but I'm a 71-year-old senior citizen. They're not, and rightfully so, going to put me in jail after all I've done. You recall this gentleman, Mr. Weller, out in Santa Monica?
The man whose car ran over all those people.
Yes, sir. He is a man who's respected in his community, and he won't go to jail, and I... I'm a veteran. They're not going to put me in jail, and especially after they hear my story. And the reason why I'm on your program is to just remind people, you see what happened to her. Please don't disrespect your veterans.
1-800-449-8686, the number on the Phil Henry Show. You know, elevators and people stopping elevators can be an irritant. I know that I like to have my elevator just, you know, once I'm on, I want to go. But there are all kinds of people that need to get on, okay?
Maybe you didn't hear me. I said I don't mind pushing the button and holding it open. But when someone sticks their hand on that thing, and the other a guy about a year ago, and I couldn't believe this guy was asking for it. He held the door open to talk to somebody for a couple of seconds. And I said, boy, is he asking for it. So this is why I say, and I don't want to get into it, but this is why I say, please have more respect.
You mean, I've seen people do that. They'll hold the elevator door for a second while they're talking to somebody in the office.
I suppose, yeah.
And you said, boy, is he asking for it.
Well, if you do that, and I'm on your elevator, or any veteran, you are begging for it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Lloyd Bonafide, Navy veteran, who was on an elevator last week. Lady grabbed the door to hold it open, as we all have at odd times. And apparently, Mr. Bonafide, being a veteran of combat, it was an instinctive thing. He kicked her baby stroller about 3 feet into the air with a kid in it, and he pushed her right back into and through, according to police. Now, I don't know what it means when you push someone through a kiosk, not just into one, but through it. Some kind of a temporary jewelry kiosk or jewelry stand in the lobby of the hotel. The message is, please respect your veterans more than that. 1-800-449-8686. And I respect our veterans as much as anybody, but I certainly have got to draw the line at pushing a woman in a stroller. And let's go back to the phones. Rebecca, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Mr. Bonafide.
Hi, I'm a mother of four, and the point I wanted to make is, in his statement at one point, he had said that the woman said, can you please hold the door? And he's talking about respect. He needs to respect that this woman is a mother of four, and maybe her children will be going off to war, and he needs to respect her. And how arrogant is he to say that the elevator only belongs to him?
No, I didn't say that, but I'm on the elevator. There were three other people on the elevator. Where does she get off telling me to hold the elevator? In other words, I was fast enough to get on it. Why doesn't she hurry her often pregnant rear end up?
You're saying to me that a pregnant woman with children deserves no less respect than you? My grandfather was also in the Korean War, and my grandfather, whenever he sees a pregnant woman or a woman with children, will always hold the elevator for her.
Yes, you
will. Always hold the door for
her. If you're behind her, you'll hold the door. But once I'm on the elevator and I'm ready to go, now she comes along with a couple of kids who you say may be veterans. For all I know, they may be at San Quentin.
What nationality was this woman that you're assuming that her children will end up in jail? Because during your speech,
she looked an awful lot like a lot of these, some of these whites that live down in the. We have a couple of mobile home parks in Monrovia, of these whites.
So not only are you arrogant and self-absorbed, thinking that it's only for you, but you can make judgment calls about other people.
No, ma'am. All I'm saying is for these arrogant people to take a second out of their so-called busy day and check and see if a veteran is on the elevator before you put your
How is she going to know you're a veteran when all she's doing is trying to get an elevator? She said to you, please hold the elevator. How is she in that moment going to say, before I ask you to please hold the elevator, can I ask if you're a veteran?
First of all, she said, will you hold the elevator? And I said, no, I will not. She got her answer. So why then does she begin to intrude on my life and the lives of the other people on it?
So she said, you said, no, I will not, and then proceeded to kick a baby so hard that it flipped through the air. And if you were trained, to recognize what things are. Not so you must have known.
Good point. Good point, Rebecca.
He had a stroller.
I saw a flash of metal, a woman's arm, which with the red fingernails.
Most strollers, sir. I have four children. Most strollers are made out of plastic and they're blue.
Well, ma'am, you
would have been able to tell the difference. And if you were trained in personal and close combat, you would have known the difference. I think, sir, that you were pissed off.
No, dear, she should have had the common decency to wait for another elevator instead of trying to cram us with the. How dare she try to frighten me further by cutting off my air? And
your air?
The claustrophobia of an elevator is one thing. To put a baby stroller in there,
now
she's trying to cut my air off.
And
that's a personal threat.
This is not a respect issue. You've got like personal problems that you need to deal with.
Ma'am, I'm saying that every day is a survival issue.
I thank Rebecca. We do need to take a break.
Well, I want to make this final point, if I could, Phil, to simply say, every day is a survival issue for. And if you see a metal stroller, fine. You see a metal stroller. I see a Chinese rifle. And it was a very distinct rifle. The Chinese used an M1. And sweet living Christ, who is busier, a stupid woman with a kid or a man fighting for his life at the Chosin Reservoir? Last time I checked, I held a rifle in my guts in the mud. And she's got a throw-up bib on her shoulder looking for a play school.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I understand, sir. I understand the issues involved being a veteran. I thank Rebecca for her call. We're talking about a veteran, a Korean War veteran, who was asked to hold an elevator for a woman who had a stroller. He didn't want to hold the elevator. She insisted on pushing the stroller in. He said he reacted instinctively after having been in close combat in Korea. He kicked the stroller about 3 feet in the air and pushed the woman back through some kind of kiosk in the lobby of the hotel. It was a business building in Pasadena. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And Lloyd Bonafide is a veteran of the Korean War. He arrested last week by Pasadena police for pushing a woman in a baby stroller out of an elevator. You said you didn't like her holding the door. Where are you right now, sir?
Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
Where are you?
Yes, sir, I'm at the Los Alamitos quarter horse track. I'm watching the quarter horse races with my nephew this evening.
Oh, okay. It sounded like you were at a racetrack, right?
Yes, sir. We're at Los Alamitos, California. Yes, sir.
All right. My question is, you said there's a lot of veterans coming back from Iraq. This could happen.
Yeah, well, you have a lot of veterans who've been exposed to combat coming back from the theater in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I would hate like hell to see a child or a pregnant woman or a senior citizen pushed through a plate glass window because they failed to respect our veterans. And I could tell by the way that woman was picking the glass out of the little boy's hair and her coat that she realized she would never disrespect a veteran again. We have thousands of troops on their way home, and God bless every one of them. And I would hate for one of them to be on an elevator when someone says, oh, and they grab the door, you'll pull back a wrist. You won't pull back a hand. There'll just be a wrist. And the watch will be gone. You know, so.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me talk here to Frank. Hello, Frank. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Mr. Bonafide.
Yeah, I'm in Seattle, Washington, and I've been listening to this here.
Yes, sir.
You've been out of Korea for at least 50 years.
1952 is when they busted his home in San Diego, California, yes, sir.
Okay, it's 52 years, and there was thousands and thousands of veterans in Korea.
Yes,
and
sir.
If they all came back with your attitude, this would be a very poor, sick country. But because we have such great veterans, you not included, we have a great country. If they were all like you, we would really be in trouble because it's a matter of a little bit of respect for anybody.
And after more than
50 years, you cannot learn common courtesy and decency to fellow human beings. You should have stayed in Korea.
Well, sir, I want to say that I will hold the door open for any woman. I pull the chair out for any woman. I open the door for my wife, even when we're going somewhere simple like the grocery store. But when I'm in an elevator and someone puts their hand on the door to stop it from going, oh, boy, the light is green.
Oh, but the thing of it is, she asked you to hold the door. You knew she was there.
Yes, sir. That is correct, sir.
By you refusing, she had to do some way to get onto that elevator.
Sir, as a veteran, you can't tell me you would calmly watch some woman push a kid through a closing elevator door while a veteran of the United States military was inside who had an appointment with an attorney.
You've given an insult to the
All right, hold on, Frank. Hold on, Frank. 1-800-449-8686. Be right back.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
I'm with Lloyd Bonafide, a Korean War veteran. I'm going to get back to our caller, Frank. And, Frank, thank you for hanging on. You there, Frank?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Now, I want to say this with Frank on the line to you, Lloyd. A man, 6 months ago, was holding open the elevator, talking to a friend of his in an office that you were on. You proceeded to pull that man's coat over his head and kneed him several times in the face. Now, I don't want to disrespect you as a veteran. I thank you for your service to our country in Korea. But, Lloyd, don't you think you need maybe the attention of the VA?
Okay, there you go. See, that's what everybody says. Let me tell you something. That guy held that elevator door open as if to say, "Hi, I'm Chinese." Well, mister, somebody says, "Hi, I'm Chinese" to me, and I'm back at the Chosin Reservoir, lickety-split.
Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, my family goes back in this country for over 200 years before the American Revolution.
Oh, is that right?
And they've always been, you know, the veterans in my family. I had a woman ancestors made gunpowder for the revolution over 200 years ago.
Oh, is that right?
And the thing of it is, any of my relatives that ever did anything like you have done, I would disown them because that is not even being a human.
You say you had people with George Washington, huh?
Before George Washington, they've been in this country. Back in the early 1700s, way before 1776.
Oh, okay.
I have an ancestor that made gunpowder for the revolution.
Now, as a Korean,
and over the years, there's been all kinds of relatives.
I think that's a wonderful thing, and I think, Frank, you deserve respect. And if I ever saw anyone disrespect any member of your family, mister, they better say their prayers.
But
now, wait a minute, Frank doesn't.
Elevator, that is not showing disrespect for anybody.
If your ancestor who made gunpowder was in an elevator and somebody was holding open, buddy, they'd be sorry. Oh, man, I don't even want to think about it.
No, because the thing of it is, the veterans, I know lots of veterans. I know veterans that have lost arms, legs, their sight.
Yes.
And I do not know any of them that would not show respect to other people in this country.
Thank you, Frank, for your call.
And I make no difference whether race or nationality.
Rest assured, Frank, please sleep better knowing that I would push a pregnant woman, anybody, down six flights of metal stairs if they...
You can't be serious.
I'm sorry?
You can't be serious of what you're saying.
Is this Frank?
No, this is Mr. Henry, the host of the show, sir, and I'm saying a pregnant woman down six flights of metal stairs. 1-800-449-8686. Joe, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Good morning to you, sir.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'd like to speak to your guest and say, sir, I thank you for your service to the country.
Thank you.
Semper Fi. Sir.
I'm United States Navy. I did not have the honor of the Marine Corps.
No, sir, but we got the same scripts, okay? U.S. Department of Navy on the top, sir. Sir, I'm only as old as you've been out of Korea. I have been in a recon unit, been part of an intel group where we did extractions out of other countries. Been in a lot of sticky situations such as your own. And, yeah, it took me a few years after I got out to go ahead and become really adjusted to the real world.
Did you ever get a call from Hollywood to do the, they do these war movies?
No, sir, I don't go for that.
Okay, let the man finish.
I don't go for that.
Let him say what he said.
I don't go for glorifying stuff that we had to do.
Uh-huh.
It was a situation that we had to take care of. We did it, and we took care of it. But, yes, sir, it took me a couple of years to go ahead and get adjusted.
Come on.
But I think if you really reach down inside yourself, you'll be able to realize what's going on.
Cash that ticket for $50.
Okay, Lloyd?
Yes, sir.
Okay, forget about cashing your tickets. This gentleman's talking to you. The Marine.
Yes, sir. I'm listening to the gentleman, yes.
Okay. Well, I wish he would listen a little bit closer. I really believe that what he's doing is using his training and his knowledge as an excuse. And granted, I've only been on this earth a little bit over 50 years, but still, sir, I believe that you were completely out of line on what you did. I've also been on a tactical unit and several law enforcement agencies here in Texas, and, sir, we've been in some very hairy situations. But I also know in the real world there's different things that you've got to look for. And that baby killer, let me finish, sir, and I'll be more than happy to respect you. And
yes, listen, sir. Yes, sir.
If you will, sir. But I don't think that you really thought through. I thought you just reacted. It was a situation that you were not able to control. It did not go your way. Sir?
Yes, sir, right here, but my horse dogged it on the turn.
All right, hey,
Mr.
listen,
Henry, can
Joe,
you still hear me?
I can hear you, Joe, and you've made some excellent points, and I thank you for your call and your service to our country. And I will move on to another call at this time, but thank you very much. Are you listening to any of these people?
I didn't get you.
Are you listening? You got the races going?
Look, he was sleeping on the turn. Look at this piece. You know, that guy, Williamson, he's a cripple. They might as well put that guy that got paralyzed from the waist down up in that horse. Am I still on the air?
Yes, you are.
Okay, race is over. Look, Phil, if that woman got any further into the elevator, she would have taken a Rockport to the right temple. Now, that the Rockport shoe, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it has a lead lining to it and can leave the Rockport insignia right in your eyeball. And I'm getting sick and tired of listening to a lot of these people sugarcoat the situation in our country right now with the Al-Qaeda and all of the whatnot. These young men returning from Iraq, Afghanistan, and this other nonsense are going to be returning, and they're going to have a pant full of pissed off when they get back here. You want to hold their elevator open? Be my guest. If you don't mind looking at your own intestines...
So that's what it's going to be, huh?
Yeah, that's right. That's what it's going to be.
Laura, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I'm just listening to the last call you had. That's appalling
He
was trying to explain to what he was saying, and he was worried about his horse. That makes me just feel, you know, I've been taught ever since I was little to respect our elders, and right there, he wasn't respecting the caller, what he had to say.
Yeah, I agree with you.
She's talking about you.
Well, the Marine gentleman?
You're worried about your horse, and he is coming from his heart, talking about
right.
how he served his country and you yourself. That was very disrespectful.
Well, I didn't mean to disrespect him. I could tell you I had a hot runner in the sixth race. He's
that doesn't matter. You're talking about a time when people have died, and you're worried about making money off horses. That's really offensive.
No.
Bill Koshan is a very good friend of mine. Exactly what you're doing to me. Anytime that gentleman was trying to talk, you were cutting him off when he was trying to make a point.
Well,
that's
I apologize.
That's protection itself,
well,
not cutting off somebody.
I apologize for that, young lady, but I would say to you, I would ask you this. Have you ever stuck your mitt into a closing elevator door?
Have I ever stuck my hand?
Yes, dear.
Yeah, I have done that. That's part of our society today. People are in such a rush. Sir, just listen to me what I'm saying.
Ooh.
You know, I had a high school teacher who was a... You are cutting me off. You're not even listening to what I'm saying.
Look, at my horse bailed out on the second furlong, and you're giving me what? You're giving me about your high school?
Just listen to what I'm saying. I'm not in high school. I'm saying a memory that I remember. I had a high school teacher who relapsed, who was in the Vietnam and Korea War. When someone put their hand against the locker, he immediately choked him and lifted him off his feet. He did not in any way provoke that action.
God bless him.
No, he hurt a boy.
If you're going to act like that in society, maybe you should talk to a counselor or something. My grandfather had been through the Vietnam and Korea, World War One, and World War II, and it's something he says that he would never forget in his life.
Your grandfather was in World War One, World War Two, Korea, and Vietnam. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
The wars that he's talked about, he doesn't like to describe because it's nothing that someone can even describe.
Well, I don't believe that he was in World War One and Vietnam. That's a lot.
She said her family, not her grandfather, her whole family.
Oh, all right.
I'm just concerned that if you're holding those kind of feelings and those kind of memories that you're not expressing to somebody, you know, we're taught to express our feelings for somebody instead of it eating us alive, and that's what it's doing to you.
What do I want to eat? I'll eat my ticket. That's what I'll eat. I'm sorry, dear.
Look, and are you watching the races or are you listening to the lady?
Phil, let me say, Bob Chantham's a very dear friend of mine, and he owns Sweet Little Nothing, which was going here in the sixth.
I had him on the nose. You know, we're supposed to be learning, and our generation, to respect our elders that we can learn so much from. I'm not learning anything from this gentleman that's having to do with the veteran. Yeah, I respect him for
the service
that he provided. But that's ridiculous. He's worried about his horse race.
No, this is a very dear friend of mine, Bob Chatham. It was ridden by a little jockey by the name of Nick Persaud. And Sweet Little Nothing came in. Now, I got him at 8-1, and I'll be a son of a bitch if he didn't...
Could you please, sir, stick to the point of what we're trying to talk about? Please. Laura, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686.
That's not a photo finish. He beat him by four hands, you piece of sweet Jesus. Go down and tell him.
Are you listening to me?
Who am I speaking with?
This is the host of the show.
I'm not familiar.
All right, let me go over here to Wayne. Go ahead.
Are
Wayne? Yes, Wayne, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I'd like to tell you something, sir.
Yes, sir. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with a fellow by the name of Wayne Morgan.
Yes, sir. I'm Lloyd Bonafide.
I'm within the U.S. Marine Corps for 4 years.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to tell you something. I wish I was on the outside of that elevator and in that...
Well, your mouth is, you know, you write a check with your mouth that your body can't back up. But I can tell you this, Mr. Veteran, you ever put your hands on me while I'm standing in an elevator, that woman is taking up my air and trying to cut my windpipe off with, that stroller, and I drop you down that elevator shaft, then lower the elevator down to the lower floor, and then raise it up, and then lower it down again. So I just go to the fifth floor and the basement about six times to make sure you're flattened like a pancake.
Have you been drinking?
Is that you, Gladys?
Who?
Is this my wife?
No, this isn't your wife. I'm the host of this show. Have you been drinking?
Oh, why don't you get off my back? Christ, I didn't marry you for this.
Hello?
Yes, who is this?
I'm sorry?
Who are we speaking with?
My name is Phil Henry. I'm a host of a radio show.
Oh, God. You did it again, didn't you, bad boy?
I just wanted to...
This is Miss... My name is Tara Bingham. I'm with Joyful Union Senior Retreat. he got away and he got away from our day trip here and grabbed the phone. I'm very sorry.
Who?
The man you're talking to, Lloyd. You're a bad boy.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to spank me with my pants down this time?
No, we're in public.
Yeah.
Turn it off. Some nutcase gets away from the group at a day trip to Los Alamitos, and you put him on as a veteran? One 800 449 8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball. It's entertainment. The Phil Henry Show is back.
You know, this little girl in Sarasota, her name is Carly Brucia. I don't know if you're aware of this. She was abducted, officials say, sometime on Sunday. And they are alleging that a guy by the name of Joseph P. Smith, they say is a drug felon, did the abduction. He was in custody Tuesday on unrelated charges when they decided that he was the prime suspect. They had a picture of the perpetrator on a videotape, and now they believe this Joseph Smith, the guy in custody since Tuesday, abducted this child from behind a car. Excuse me, from behind a car wash. If you saw the videotape, you see a little girl walking, taking a shortcut, and this guy walks up to her, grabs her by her arm, looks like he's probably telling her, hey, you're not supposed to be here, blah, 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 blah. He's probably telling her a whole story, and then grabs her and walks off with her by the hand. He's a burly guy, probably very intimidating to some poor little kid who's 12. And you see this child defenseless against this scum. Now, I keep going back to this every now and again, because I think it's amusing when people made fun of Hillary Clinton when she said, it takes a village, you know. And, of course, immediately, most of the brain surgeons in this country didn't know what it meant. When they say it takes a village, they say that in a way we're all responsible for the well-being and the safety and the upbringing of the kids in that village. The global village, the American village. Let me ask you a question. Is there any of us, if we had an opportunity, having seen that videotape, to have interceded on behalf of that child, is there anybody out there that would say no? That you wouldn't? Not your kid? You know, I heard one of these dumb Republicans say, it doesn't take a village, it takes a family. Yeah, we understand, man. What I'm trying to say is that there are times, probably more times than you think, where a village is needed, where we all need to intercede. Or am I supposed to just, hey, I saw your kid behind a car wash getting abducted, I thought I'd give you a call because I know it takes a family. You know, I feel horrible for that poor kid coming back from a sleepover at her girlfriend's house. Kids can't even walk down to their house anymore? No, Phil, you're right, they can't. We need more police. No, we don't need more police. No, we don't need more police. We need more citizens. That's what we need. We need more patriots. We need more real people willing to intercede on behalf of anybody who is in trouble. Any person walking by. Anybody seeing something like that? Anyone seeing a kid by themselves? Are they okay? Call a cop. Call a parent. Find out if the kid's all right. More cops? Why? So we could all sit on our thumb and mind our own business and go back to our stupid lives? Is that it? Is that why we need more cops? So they can throw more bodies in the line of fire, more black and whites, more guys go down, so that the rest of us can just sit around looking stupid? I recognize that the police are doing a great job, but it ain't more cops. We need some citizens around here, man. We need a few more heroes in the way of, the good old-fashioned American hero. We need some people, like, really getting involved in their country and in their community. And, yeah, that's right, in the lives of the even kids that aren't their own. That's what I mean about it takes a freaking village, okay? We need less basketball players, we need less football players, we need less actors, and we need more real people. Real people. You guys out there, all of the heroes that are listening to me tonight, you guys can do it. You can make a difference. This guy grabs this little girl coming home from a sleepover. She was with her friends. She was trying to be a kid. You can't even be a kid in this slaughterhouse of a country anymore. You can't even be a child in this butcher shop of a country anymore. You got to, Janet Jackson's got to show you her privates. She's got to lay there and spread it for you. I bet you that might have been a bright idea she had, too. Does that make me a prude? Huh? Does that make me not with it and not hip in the Janet Jackson circle? Hey, Janet, I think your music blows anyway, honey. So, you know, all I'm trying to say is, when's a kid going to get to be a kid anymore in this society? More cops? We need more freaking... We need more men with a pair on them. More women who are willing to stand up. And, I'm out of time. I need a cigarette. What do you think of that? And I'm going to smoke it right now, or not, as the case may be.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.